That's not true. She's paid millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Not true.
Hasn't happened yet. It's always still a possibility. There might be just a giant...
That you pay me?
Yeah, but giant bushel bag of... What's the biggest bill that we make, that the U.S. Treasury makes?
What the biggest bill?
Yeah, the largest
like amount. Dollar note?
Yeah.
Is it just 100?
I don't know. Do we make anything? Do we make a $1,000 bill, Harrigan? I don't think we do. I don't think we do either.
Not anymore.
We
used to be as much as a $10,000 bill.
Whoa,
really?
Why don't you just mail her one of the giant checks you get after the golf tournament?
I'd like one of those. That'd be cool.
Like, well, yeah, I'd have to win a golf tournament again. Those days of winning golf tournaments are over.
Well, you could buy a check.
Yeah. So, you know, like when they, like this week, Hideki won. And I didn't see the ceremony, but I assume they still do the big check. How do they get that home? Do they have to bring that, like, through TSA? You know, now a lot of these guys.
Don't Castino still do that, too? They write the big check to beat winners?
Which your phone broke up for a second there.
Casinos.
They probably do. Well, do we still have when they knock on your door?
Publisher's Clearinghouse. Checking the balloons?
Is that a thing?
If anybody has ever received any money from the Publisher's Clearinghouse, you need to text or call in. That was like Ed McMahon for a long time. Now, as considering how paranoid we are about people showing up at our door, we'd probably look out and say, nah, I don't know that person.
I don't know. You can check the Ring cam.
Yeah, you got the Ring cam. Well, but again, if they're hiding the check.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's just, you know, some goofball is out there, you know. If I just showed up tomorrow at the mansion, not a lot of people know Jamie and Doug, once they got married, they bought the Playboy Mansion. If I just showed up at the front door out of nowhere, would you let me in or would you call me and say, why are you here?
No, I'd let you in.
Now.
But don't do that, okay?
Yeah, on the radio, sure, I'd let you in. It'll be text, but don't show up. Now, life sometimes is about regrets. And I've had a few. I'm just wondering, when you look back at our last chat from Paris, when you either had the chance to talk to me or Simone Biles, are you regretting that decision?
I have zero regrets.
Yes.
Zero regrets.
That is the correct answer. How did that go?
It went fine. You know, she is shooting the second part of her documentary for Netflix, and I did have this feeling that she was doing a lot of us. Like, it was surprising to us that she was going to come. We interviewed her at Team USA House, and so there was, like, other outlets like USA Today and Good Morning America. You know, NBC, a lot of people don't know, they have the rights to the Olympics, so they get the athletes for a full 24 hours after they win. They don't release the athlete to anybody else until after that. You know, there were some athletes like Jordan Chiles that were never made available for us to talk to. And that's fine. It's up to the athlete. So I think those of us who have covered Simone for quite some time, I interviewed her in 2016 during the Rio Olympics, with everything she's been through and some of the criticism of the media and things, we were surprised she was going to do the interviews at Team USA House. So that she came through very limited time that we each had with her, which is also fine. Many athletes do the same thing, including like Bobby Fink, the swimmer. You know, we had 3 minutes with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It went as good as it could. I think she was there to do it. And I also think it's going to make a great little, you know, part of the documentary to show kind of the media hoopla that follows her when she does offer herself up for interviews.
Well, you've been a part of this. I've been a part of this. When it's kind of a row, whether it's TV row or radio row, and let's say it's even 5 minutes, right? And if it's somebody, in this case, legendary, like Simone, you still want to ask a question that your audience wants to hear.
Sure.
But you also want to elicit a different response. So you don't want it just to be the same three questions she's already been asked over and over and over again, because then it's just autopilot and you're not getting anything. So that's the balance to walk, you know?
The other thing you have to think about with Simone is that she's very vocal. When she doesn't like a question that's asked, she blasts it all over social media.
Yeah,
so, right. You know, luckily for me, I had seen that she, you know, she really didn't want to be asked what's next for her. You know, so it's like, okay, do I want to ask what's next for Team USA Gymnastics? Or do I want to ask her if she's enjoying the moment? Because her whole reason for not asking what's next is that we should allow the athletes to enjoy the moment. So I went ahead with, you know, are you enjoying the moment?
Yeah, fair.
You know, so it's, you have to make choices, I think, too, now, as to what route you want to take with someone like that, just because of the social media aspect of it. And if you really feel like, you know, the question is worth the potential backlash.
Okay, so let's talk Paris overall. How would you compare
it? Amazing.
Okay, that's
amazing.
Everybody I've talked to, and the same feeling I have from everybody who watched it. I watched it. I just had a la-di-da, a bunch of stuff going on, so I don't think I consume quite as much as a lot of my peers. But when I did, sure. I thoroughly enjoyed it. What made it amazing?
I have to, you know, first of all, I've covered Rio, Tokyo, and Beijing. Tokyo and Beijing both had their own sets of challenges because of COVID. Obviously, Tokyo was moved a full year, couldn't have fans in the stands, athletes' families weren't allowed, there were so many precautions. Even once you tested out after your 2 weeks, you still had to, you know, you still had to continue testing every day. You know, there were so many protocols in place that even a little bit of freedom still didn't feel much like freedom. And then Beijing was even worse than that, right? So mm-hmm. I was trying to compare in my mind this Olympics to Rio in 2016, which was a great Olympics. It was a lot of fun. 2016, if you remember, Rio had all those security issues. They had really locked down the athletes. You know, there was logistical problems in Rio. There were events really far away from one another. There were major traffic snarls and situations. I think the thing about Paris was that the transportation could not have been easier. You could hop on the metro. You could hop on a bike in the bike lanes. You could walk to so many different places. You've got, you know, the Paris went all out in terms of doing their street clean. Everything was clean in that city, which I've never seen. I've visited Paris before. It was cleaner than I've ever seen it. You had a lot of Parisians that understood the assignment. They weren't there to, you know, be the stereotype of, you know, spitting at you or trying to get you to speak. Like, everyone spoke English. Everyone was super helpful. Everyone wanted to go out of their way. They wanted this to be, they wanted the presentation to go as well as possible. And the city is beautiful. So these, you know, the iconic monuments and venues and everything that you saw on television, I mean, to see it in person was just as stunning, if not more so in person than you saw on television. And so just the little bit you may have seen, you know, of some of these events, like the marathon going through the city, you know, all that type of stuff. It was just really great. And they, the food is good. You know, I mean, it's like,
it's great.
It was just, everything was just, there's not one thing I can point to and say, I mean, like the only thing I think for them was the Seine could have been cleaner.
Yeah.
They spent $1 billion.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, I wish it
sounds
hadn't
like Southwest light rail to me, you know, I mean, seriously. Now, have you, I know you like to book your travel a lot. Have you already set your flight schedule for the 28 Summer Olympics? It's going to be a long, long trip for you.
You know what's funny is I said, because this Olympics was so good, I've said this to some people, like, I don't have that urge to, like, need to cover another Olympics. So I find it funny that it is going to be in my backyard.
You can't avoid it.
I hope we can live up to it. Yeah. It's like, so.
Okay,
you know,
so.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
So I remember. You know, think about what was going on in the run of Olympics, right? 72, right? You had the Munich, you had hostages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Montreal had all sorts of issues. We didn't go to 80, right? 84 to L.A.
L.A.,
Soviet Union, Eastern Bloc countries didn't come. But Peter Ueberroth ran it. There were all these predictions that it was just going to be a financial bloodbath. And it was a great success. And it had helped that some of our rival countries were not there. Now,
right.
L.A. is even bigger. You have so many facilities already. There's so much going on. What is your sense in how L.A. and the natives are going to embrace the Olympics when it's taking place?
Well, you know, it's going to be challenging. I mean, I think the mayor has done a good job of kind of, you know, jumping in and saying, like, we see the challenges. We're starting to work on them now. We have time. But, you know, like Paris, we have a large homeless population. You know, in Paris, there is a lot of criticism. They just bust the homeless population out of the city.
Yeah.
I think you're going to start seeing, you know, you saw Governor Gavin Newsom sign legislation about not being able to sleep on streets. And these cities, Long Beach just yesterday, started clearing encampments and putting in more shelters and trying to get vouchers for hotels. I think you're going to see a big push to try to improve the homeless situation here. I think that's a very delicate situation, right? Like it's going to make some people really happy, and it's going to make some other people angry for various reasons, whether it's you know, the homeless themselves who don't want to leave, or it's the financial impact of some of the decisions that are made on how we deal with the crisis. And the other problem, as you know, we talk about my drive all the time on the show.
It's crazy.
Traffic is going to be a nightmare, and I think it's the one thing Paris did so well. I think the mayor, you know, she came for both the opening and the closing ceremony. She saw that. I talked to her specifically about that. They have a plan right now of 3,000 buses, adding 3,000 additional buses to get people to the venues. They want to make this a no-car Olympics. I think, like, during COVID, a number of us who were deemed essential, we all had, like, tags and different, you know, ways of being able to drive on the roadways. You know, there was significantly less traffic. I think she's going to urge people to work from home. There may be maybe we'll have to apply for some type of, you know, permit or something to be able to drive around. But, you know, that I think is going to be the biggest frustration. We also are having our Olympics in July. Most of the time starts the last week of July and goes into August. So I think the hope is that a number of people will take their vacations during July so that it doesn't butt up to school, because, you know, unlike you lucky Minnesota kids that go back the day after Labor Day, most schools have already started here or are starting this week. So, you know, the Olympics will take place in July. I think there's just going to be a potential population problem. And, you know, when you get a lot of people in a small-ish space, I think that there is concern there. The thing I do like that the mayor has talked about that she's going to do is making sure that there are events, you know, Olympic related or just, you know, in cooperation with the Olympics and working with the Olympic Committee to get people to places like Little Tokyo, Little Ethiopia, you know, to some of our neighborhoods here that are so special and have amazing food. You know, I think that will be a highlight that we'll be able to offer that so many other places can't. So it's going to be a balance like anything, but, you know, having the venues already in place, huge check mark. I think transportation, huge potential logistical nightmare. You know, we'll just have to see how it goes.
Just leave my ramen place in Little Tokyo alone.
It's so good, right?
Greatest ramen I've ever had. It's absolutely amazing. I have to go. Glad you're back. Glad you had such a great time. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chad.
Jamie with us every Tuesday, 1:35. We're lucky to have her on board. I'm lucky to talk about K&S Heating and Air, Plumbing and Electric on the radio. I have had this opportunity for 10 years. I'm lucky to have them in my house. They are reliable. They are quality. 36 years in business, and they get it done. I've been telling you about this offer for months, and it's going to come to a conclusion pretty quick, partially because of WCCO Radio and the number of people who listen to these spots and have said, this is such a good deal, I'm going to take advantage of it. $7,795 for a Lennox high-efficient air conditioner and furnace, plus 0% financing for 12 months for certain qualified customers. Think about it. Heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electric, and this deal, you got to track them down, don't you? And again, they're quality people. KSHeating.com.